last state in their CBA, but that's the cap, that's the total that they can have.
The total of the cap, you should do that one, so.
The couple of acts, President, is in effect, it would permit us to double our Polaris suite, whereas the limit solely has to just convert it from land-based systems to CBA systems. I don't think that sounds logical.
Well, but they, if you follow that line of reasoning, I believe you come to the point that we will never catch up with them.
I'm all in favor of trying to get the SLBMs frozen. It seems to me this discussion is getting ahead of the negotiating situation. I don't know how we can get these things frozen if we want. I share the worry expressed in the President's question as to whether we're going to come out ahead if we do freeze them. Because then you will raise the quality that even a freeze, the United States is inferior in missiles. And I'm not sure we ought to do that, but it's our position, and I'm going to do my best to sell it.
Well, we've got that on the table already. The problem is that we haven't had enough discussion of where we are in the opens as far as the solving questions. I think that the full discussion on the opens and freeze from the start of solving six is absolutely important. I don't know where we are.
That's what we need to do.
We haven't had that yet.
What about the if you want to try and we can focus on Moses and rest?
Well, it was a point, Mr. President, which you raised very strongly with Romney. We have reason to believe that it will be possible. And then they indicated that that's what they're prepared to do.
I think this is the looking situation, you know, where submarine program. Is that then, could we just so that we know what the option is, could we really have an idea? You say it's just all this week, has that all been vetted out already? You know what the situation is, how soon you build it, you know, what is the situation on that?
Right now, it's going to go down to the present program, the present program. We can compact that. We can bring down the acceptance programs again. I'm convinced, probably by the acceptance, that's our best estimate now, is 77.9 compactions.
This bears on the problem, it seems to me, that you could make an argument, and in terms of thought, it would be less true than 7.3, what you're reading, like you pointed out. You're freezing on the offensive side. You just say land bases, which are free superiority on our side. On the other side, the cost of it. Basically, we can't trust them, and frankly, they shouldn't be able to trust us. And I am looking at the submarine area. This is an area we're pretty good in. I mean, looking at the worst situation, why not go like no one?
I guess it's an advantage. If I was convinced the Soviets were going to stop at 41, and I'm not convinced, I am convinced the Soviets are going to superiority. Now, I know that isn't shared by most people, but I am convinced they're going to superiority.
Okay, let's put it.
But I feel that Nolan has convinced
me. Well, I know some of it, but I believe that.
Go ahead. The situation is such, here's what happened, and we've got it charted out here. As far as the submarine construction program, they're going forward with these two modernized yards. They increase their capacity that we haven't seen the end of that. They cut down their construction time from 6 to 8 months of these yards. I think we have a political problem involved here as much as a military problem, but the political problem concerns me more than the military problem, to be very frank.
Well, why are we better off if we have no agreement? And that's exactly the situation that exists.
Well, we have an agreement that freezes them at 650 more like it.
But if you have an ICBM freeze and no submarine freeze, then you're in exactly the position you've now described that we have to catch up with.
I want the submarine freeze in there, too.
I know.
Well, let me know what the unless somebody gets a hold of you, that's one, that's the one you can't. We're not going to give away a great deal, because we're not going to give away something that was up to any of them. Separate something. Seems to me that there is plenty of money that you might want to raise into that might be a little.
Well, we've already given up, Jesse. That's pretty well given up.
Well, we've been frozen close for years.
Right, so right. That's all right.
That's over. But they aren't frozen. That's where the superiority is developed.
What's developing there is trying to put it in the outside. It's also developing in the sublock.
Well, the same metal
guy, they said that the fat fever is 9 years.
Well,
another way to get a capacity out of water than their ability.
Well, there's another way we can look at this way of arguing. Let us suppose that you got an ICBM free zone. Let us suppose that's okay. And then, so then we have submarines. What do we do? Certainly in that area, we can do better than they do, and I think we get approval and go on. And I'm not sure that maybe it wouldn't be better off doing it.
That's the limitation that Mel is talking about. Well, 77 applies to arms. If we wanted to, we could stretch existing Poseidon submarines so that they take 24 launches rather than 16, and that's fast for the time standing.
Well, that's our conversion, change our conversion program. That's what would be.
No, that would be the expense on that. The number of missiles.
The expense on that is you might as well go to homes.
But it gives you a touch down to time.
Well, I can see why it's such a
but it is not a decision.
Yes, it's not a decision. I got a
huge
unanimous on this.
Yes, they've got the strongest position that they
well, I know. That's why I wanted to have a discussion.
I think I'll put it in the record what the Geneva Advisory Committee is. We've already passed over the ABNs. I'll repeat the attitude of the committee in regard to that. The minimal level is the one that we prefer. Down to zero, because we think the vulnerability probably carries more insurance than anything else. But also, the committee feels that you could have some make a very fancy drop. Not only the kitchen truck, you could link the submarines with it, because although they may not be great political traitors, the feeling is expressed in my committee. There's been a great deal of notoriety in regard to this building of the new capacities for the submarines, the Yankee-class submarines. Moreover, submarines have a sinister tradition in this country. Twice we were almost brought to our knees because of submarines. And, we have a feeling that there would be a very difficult political situation as well as a public opinion situation. We should have to take into account if we didn't have some captives, you put it, on the submarines. I don't know if I've been put to the nub, and if somebody came to me and said, look, would you give up any, just say, they claim to attack the submarines and turn for 0 ABM, my answer would be, I'm trying to do it, so you're bound to tell you that the committee feels that you've got to, that our recommendation is trying to keep it as low a level as possible and make the very determined effort and not just decide to link it up with the submarines. Because, and then also the thought that if we don't do that, we're almost forced to go into a very intensive submarine building campaign, and that affects the whole objective of this exercise. We're going to try to keep this thing down and not increase the rate. And that's inevitable, and it seems to be rather almost inevitable if we let that go on.
I think, Mr. President, we have to keep in mind that what you're talking about here originally in connection with the offensiveness weapons is a freeze. And I think a great deal depends on the period of time during which you negotiate the tentative treaty.
I think that has to be put in the factor. A lot of the things that we've said here today relate to the definitive follow-up agreement on defensive weapons.
I think that's right. It's important. It's important during this period to us.
President, I was amplified.
Sure.
Jack, it seems to me that those questions are better off like bring those up in this order to get a breeze from unbalanced, it seems to me that the breeze would be better for us. One reason, if we come up with an agreement that
kind of brings up
both. We come up with an agreement that works on GBMs and ICBMs, and Soviets continue to pull out quotes. That's going to create a very sour atmosphere for you to try to push through public support and congressional support from this sort of a deal. If we make the first strategic arms limitation agreement and send up the same day a request for appropriation for $4 billion for a new submarine program, it just kind of looks as if we're going in two different directions at once. So I think that we ought to very clear that you want to have the folks stop.
Well, now let's suppose you can't get hold of what you're doing on that.
Now, I would prefer it not to try to escalate it, but I
once you get into your forward-based systems of modernness and rather than connection with them,
I think that it would be very hard for you to go to the country and say Soviets were willing to end the competition in ABMs, they were willing to end the threat that we talked about, the SS-9s, limit them all, and limit all their ICBMs, but we decided we couldn't accept that, because most weren't in, we prefer to have open competition, strategic competition across the board. And that will be a hard public position for you to take.
Yes, President, no, I was, I agree with that. Secondly, I think if we're going to press this point as we have up to this point, we've got to do it with conviction. Derek says it's some doubt in the Soviet's mind about whether we're serious about this.
They feel that it's not part of the deal. They say that it's not appropriate for this stage, and it's not consistent with a May 20th understanding, and they want to freeze, they want to limit the votes, but in the context of other offensive weapons. So if we're deadly in earnest about this, I think that a very high level signal for that effect would be most useful.
Mr. President, what does that high level signal have to come from? That's what I'm concerned.
Sooner the better.
Can't you wait until the budget of 1972 if you have to wait before?
I would think this would be a private communication. I hope you know the temperature.
Well, you have to probably kind of go forward with budget. You're going to propose something forward.
No,
I was working hard to get them to have this as part of a freeze in this area. I mean, if they don't think we're serious about going forward with their submarine systems, they're not going to go for any freeze.
The sort of deal I'm talking about.
They right now are convinced in their mind, I think, that we're not very serious about going forward with the submarine systems, because we're funding this at a very low level. We're not advancing any of our yards. If we start talking a little bit about this, and I'm sure you can change the attitude of the Soviet Union.
I don't like the President Cultist man because he's been around a lot. He's coming down the question as an arbitral, you know, as well as supposed to be an expert on that. Hired in relations, so we were in relations. He came in to see me. He was the first person visiting the United States when he came down to Washington. And he talked about salt and this. He talked about the fundamental issues and the ABS and everything at all. This was the offensive. And I said, I understand you're coming to an impasse in this situation because your position was not conclude on the submarine, and he said, I don't know if he worked in the court, I don't really have the news on us at all. He said, I don't know that we're adamant on that position. I do not know that we're adamant on that position just a couple days ago.
That's exactly what I think we should push very hard on.
Well,
Mr. President, there's one thing before we, this is offensive part, and it's important, and I think it shows the need for full and complete discussion, free decision, and so things on this whole offensive. Early, but I didn't do that. There are a couple of things on the ETF that, I think I'd like to follow up a little bit, some sort of on Henry's discussion. It might be well if Paul, if you would just clarify our DOD position on that as far as the DOD position is concerned, because I don't think it should be
DOD.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Sure.
I think Henry correctly presented, broad outline of what we had in mind. I think I make only one amendment to it, and that is that I think we would be restricted to a defensive 150 silos on the U.S. side on an additional being beyond that. Of course, we need more discussion. If we would defend the 150 silos, we'd be able to put an instruction down the stress point of our NSR.
We put this at these 150.
The Soviets would be at the same number of silos. But it doesn't make any difference as far as fields, as far as its important thing is the number of silos protected.
It makes a difference in when you get to the upgrade question whether they can be used for the aggregate.
That's not exactly correct, because that goes into the radar system that's being used, and the radar system there.
The kind of the field so that the population depends at those stations. The real concern is that they use the same components in city to city to
I think what could work out is restrictions on the interceptor information, which would make that minimal capability even if they didn't put them in the city, much less the SAM capabilities we now propose to test both sides and have. Obviously, the essential question is whether or not we could get congressional authority for going forward with our part of the program. As I understand it, we have got a hard site defense R&D program, which is funded by the Congress.
It was approved. The witness presented the hard site program.
Now, they think that the Congress commits the grand forms, which the chiefs, the DOD, and the others could say, would in fact make a contribution to the defense of the land, which would add the stability of the nuclear relationship. There are all of them sites with two section components that nobody believes in a significant defense. I think it would be great when the ABM position is honest for the person, because you would have a chance really to defend them and to contribute to defense of our two land-based components, primarily military. So that I think all the strategic arguments go in favor of being able to do this if one had any defense at all. I can see the argument is zero. The Russians should buy that. I'm not sure that they will buy that, because I think they feel strongly about the defense of Moscow. I just hate to see us go into a position where we come out with either two safeguard sites or one safeguard site, which nobody around this table can defend before the Congress, contributing to the defense of the Minutemen in a significant way, which has cost us an enormous amount. Much harder time to bend that than what happened. Zero, four type of program, which the Russians have suggested we explore. Now, Jerry is quite right. When they came in, I guess September 7th proposal, it was really just, are you willing to explore with us a principle? The principle is that the defense of asylum is a much easier job technically. That is so. When we explore ways and means of defining components which would be effective in the defense of the site, but wouldn't be effective in the defense of the city.
I agree that it isn't an easy job to do. I think the work we've done back here on inspection has enabled us at least to come up with ideas which we think would satisfy that requirement. The limit of the radars is less than 10 to 4 in power. I think we're going to have to put less than 1.5 kilometers per second. I think this would do what they're doing. I can't guarantee that they would agree. Hard to get them to agree to things black and white and specific. Can't tell. They will. I'd say they'd like to see us explore it.
That's a disadvantage, isn't that? You have to have a new.
We're underway now. Trying to do the R&D on the system, granted this would be a modification
or part of that place. We haven't got any models on this yet. It's sort of forward on us.
But here again, we have an R&D program. Here again, Mr. President, we would be proposing an installed agreement. First thing we would do would be build up a large weapon system. It seems to be quite consistent with the whole purpose of this, which is to cut down the weapon, not to build up new systems.
We are discussing the limitation of offensive weapons. Is it strictly all of the discussion on the basis of number of silos, number of weapons, and nothing about the size of the weapons that we...
There's one exception to that, one major exception. We have proposed that a special class of ICBMs, out of large systems which have a body of more than 7 cubic meters, would be subject to a separate secret message.
But yes, that's what I'm doing. Sorry about that. I can remember reading back in before World War II, when we were building tanks, and all the discussions about we didn't have to worry about the 88 millimeter gun, and our tanks were much more maneuverable than the 75s, could get there faster, and they were more precise. We got to fly the 88s, it's not the 11s, I'm just thinking about 88s, and SS9s as opposed to that fast 75s. Well, that should be really given up from this point.
Well, the Soviets, and I gather, are in our peace. They're not interested in any control over quality. And this is something we pretty much on right from the start.
Quality meaning size to
size or how Baldwin's proposal would get you the quality of the fences. You have to have an agreement about the speed of the missile. You have to have an agreement about the volume of the missile. You have to have an agreement about the aperture of the radar and the power of the radar. And it seems to me this is expecting an awful lot in terms of the first agreement between the Afghanis and the knockout propaganda.
The subtotal of the total 2375 of 313, which is the model they have today.
Are we coming?
One word.
Are they coming? We expect them to have one, but they haven't tested one yet. We know if you don't think they have.
All the way.
Yes, they got an MRV, but they don't have an MRV. But we expect them to happen. How long do you get laid to them for them to deploy them after they test them?
Well, thank you.
So, Dick, don't you agree, though, that they have the technical capabilities to do this?
Yes.
They had it within a year.
We confidently anticipate that within a year or two, they'll have over. No, this doesn't make a difference. The giant chiefs certainly. Hard sight defense provides the stability of the situation so that you eliminate the first strike capacity. Isn't that the argument you make? Right. Well, if it has to do with ballistic wavering, what you're doing is putting in a system that's going to stabilize this. So the picture of Jimmy Stoll on that basis, not as Jerry said, you're building a missile system.
Congress may have difficulty with the decision.
Well, we may have trouble with the restriction of
Mr. President.
Still all right.
You saw the same thing over and over again.
We're not trying to get people locked in kind of business. But we feel this should be explored in the discussion. And we don't believe that it has been adequately explored with the city of
I think I've got the argument.
And the chiefs take a very strong position in this, and I support.
I said, we do. Whether politically, I think we don't have to deal with that. Any more experts?
The NSCA makes a lot of sense.
Do I understand, gentlemen, the chiefs are for this new site defense?
NSCA, the chief position on the ATM is an NSCA plus two missile teams. Where is that?
With this new short-range missile or with the hardware that you presently got?
We have to go with the hardware we got in the present time.
You wouldn't go along with the missile?
Yes, I'd go along with it when it was developed, but you're 5-6 years away from this.
What I'm trying to find out is whether you propose that we should make a new proposal to permit the Soviets to deploy a new short-range ballistic missile.
Our defense position is stay with 2-1. Two sides to 1. And that's the position that the chiefs are in at the present time. Plus, the option for both sides to go into
when do we have to have a jury or
we open it tomorrow Monday morning. I told the Soviets I wouldn't be ready on Monday, but we wouldn't be on Tuesday.
But Mr. President, that's the position you take, but the other position is that we explore.
You don't have to decide this issue by Monday. No, that's what I feel. I want to hear some more of this issue. As far as possible, I think Mal agrees. And I don't think anyone disagrees, and in a way, this discussion is a little premature, because if we stay in our current position, that is to say, we stay in 2-1, and if we insist that they discuss offensive limitations first, or at least concurrently, then we are in reasonably good shape, because in the offensive limitations, no one disagrees that we should include FLBS. The issue of FLBMs will arise only if it becomes apparent that they are willing to agree to ICBMs only and to nothing else. The issue of whether you go the Nitzer route or the one-side route will arise only if they turn down the 2-1 proposal. Mel is content to stick with the 2-1 proposal, particularly if we add this proviso to it that the option of going to NCA exists after the agreement is made, which would then take care of the chief's concern. So actually, you don't have to make any major decisions this weekend. The major reason for having this discussion now was, while the delegation was here, to have you hear some of the issues that may come up under greater pressure of time later on. To let you have a preliminary track at it now, and then bring it back to you when the issue becomes acute.
Why is that? You write a letter over the weekend.
The point that I want to make, though, is that we do feel that in this particular process, we should explore how far they might be able to get some appeals, not only in the offensive, but also in the defense area. Without changing our position.
Well, on that score, as Henry made the point, we have been all over the lot. So we have from 0 to 4 to 3 to 2. And if now we sort of say our position is 2-1, but we've got another little idea here that we'd like to work and see if you're interested. I think it's going to make the possibility of closing a deal with these people by Christmas or by May pretty obscure.
They brought up again. They felt that September 7th proposition was something that should be looked at. And they made that clear once again in between these talks, and that's taken place since those last talks.
We flatly have a unanimous decision of all the agencies said the man is no good dog, Moses.
So, really,
so the following criteria, and then we come back and say,
but yes, but since that time, the Stogies have come back to you.
Well, the only decisions you may have to make this weekend, given all of this, how will the function go into that particular variation of the two-side proposal? And, I can't wait a week, can't it, Mel? I mean, they could wait 3 or 4 days. So, I'm just concerned about that.
I just thought, I want to see, let me say just for a minute. This, I'd like to see everybody all decided to get the contracts on this thing, but I'd like to see what you can do in a submarine program. What it costs, you know, to keep all the, we've made face with that. And what we're talking about, how soon we can have them, how they compare this and that.
I see all the arguments to make what we can do. We can't have an arms control agreement and start with submarines. I'm not so sure that we couldn't. I think the submarine thing is a sort of possibility. If we can cut off that and the past, so to speak, and I just never understood what we said. You see, we've been frozen so long on all offensive weapons, right? Capabilities and submarines and what.
We haven't had one off the ways going in operation since 1967.
Our submarine is always, but let's look at its worst. As you know, Jerry, you both have been away a lot, but there is a hell of a head of steam really building up that you probably noticed. It isn't just what they call the nuts. And there are a lot of sensible, responsible people are concerned. On the columnists, of course, usually cries wolf, but Al Sponsor and Joe also do a lot of columns on this, but a lot of others as well. They're concerned that we're reaching ourselves to superiority and so forth, and appealing to the United States, and maybe ought to take some move. We may have a situation where we have to go to submarine, and where it can be sold. I'm not sure. I think at least you've got to look at the numbers. So if we can do that, no hurry, understand. Let's just take a look in a couple of weeks.
The cost is great, right? It doesn't cost about decision that all price adjustments announced before August 15th shall be subject to the same 72-hour procedure as those described in option 2.
You've heard the amendment. Is there a discussion? Call for the vote. Those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. Amendment stops. Question comes on the adoption of the general. Before I turn the meeting over to Secretary Conway, that
just wish by sight.
And there is something that is enormously difficult, and generally, as shall we say, generally, very mild success of it all. We believe, however, that we have found the pattern here that may succeed, and it will succeed, as Judge Bolton says. And it will succeed because it is looking very carefully at that. Not simply in terms of setting goals that may sound good at the moment, but that are totally unyielding, but in setting realizable goals, goals that can be achieved, and then making up our minds that we are going to follow through and see that those goals are achieved. That's what you've done, and that's why we can deal with you very well today. Secretary, you guys are contributing.
My person, I think that all through the culture of the morning to our deep appreciation to you, the person who has both all the members of the State Board and the Dean of the Price Commission. We feel considerably relieved of many responsibilities. I think it's appropriate this time to thank all of the staff, the Office of Emergency Preparedness, Dr. Paul Patrick, and Reserve Chairman, across the committee and across the council, all of the others, Dr. Burns, who's been invaluable assistance to this board as an advisor to it, and now as chairman of the Committee on Interest and Diligence. Mr. President, I must say that a duty to have of the entire council that we think the Phase 1, the Great Price for each service, which is just expired, was a resounding success. Fairly easy to administer in terms of what the integration has and yet both, because we try to maintain a freeze with very few exceptions. But it was made possible largely by the unseen support and wholehearted cooperation of American people. I think the Dean is the American people applauded his actions. And I think it behooves us to try to execute the program which he's laid out. I am frankly and somewhat amazed at the remarks that Congressman made and all that about the infrastructure.
credit of the Price Commission, and
to that. It was very delicate area. Having enough control of the issue without destroying freedom, I think we ended up on exactly the right course, at least as close to that course as we can with reasonable
retail. Is this a deliberate exclusion now, or...